The church arranges the readings that we hear at Mass. It's called the lectionary, the selection of readings that we have at Mass. And there is a plan to it. For Sunday Masses, it's a three-year cycle. We're in the year A right now, at the very end of it. Next Sunday is the last Sunday of this year. And the following Sunday is the first Sunday of, it's the first Sunday of Advent, which is sort of the church's New Year's Day. And so during the A cycle, the Gospels pretty much, except its special feasts, and that's when go all the way through St. Matthew's Gospel. And sure enough today, if you look at the Gospel today, it's from St. Matthew's Gospel, and it's from the 25th chapter. It's right, you know, it's getting towards the end. So we're coming into the end times. And then the church will select the first reading from the Old Testament, except in the Easter season, and it bounces around from book to book. But that first reading is from the Old Testament is chosen to correspond or to shed some light on that gospel passage. The first reading and the gospel should be read together, because a lot of times it'll help you to understand what the church is really wanting us to see or understand in these particular passages. And so today we have this gospel of the talents, very familiar to us. The master who goes away and leaves all of his possessions in the trust to these different ones of his servants. A talent actually was some vast amount of wealth, actually, to tell you the truth. So he's really entrusting a lot to these, to the one with the one, actually. And we know the one to whom he entrusted five, you know, invested this and made five more. The one with two did the same, made two more. But the one with one just buried it and then gave it back to him when he got back. And the master criticizes him for that. You know, you should have done something with all of this, you know. So, we know that story very well. Well, what are we supposed to make of that story? How are we supposed to actually apply that? You know, because actually Jesus isn't trying to give us investment strategies for the stock market or something. He's not really talking about literally what the parable is about, okay? He's not telling us how to make investments. So in what sense, what has God entrusted to us, and what kind of return is he expecting to get? Well, that's where our first reading comes in to help us with this. Again, a very, very famous passage of scripture from the book of Proverbs. We don't have too many readings from Proverbs, actually, in the lectionary, so it's interesting to have this one. This description of the worthy wife. And so we have, you know, this parable that sort of uses a sort of a commercial image being interpreted for us in a very domestic setting. When one finds a worthy wife, her value is far beyond pearls. Her husband entrusting not his wealth, but what? His heart to her as an unfailing prize. And then it goes on to talk about very, again, sort of as in the first reading, talks about small things. You know, talking about very domestic things that this worthy wife has poured herself into for the love of her husband, the love of her family, the good of her community, and also her relationship with God. Because at the end it says, charm is deceptive and beauty fleeting. The woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. So, what are we to invest? What is it that God has entrusted to us? What vast treasure has he entrusted to us to invest? Well, our very selves, and most especially our hearts, our love. And where are we to invest that? In very domestic ways, places. in the relationship of husband and wife. You know, that's what the sacrament of marriage is. It is a gift of self to another. And the reception of that very precious gift from another to yourself, or of themselves. Amazing. Of the relationship between parents and children, and children and parents, and brothers and sisters, and neighbors and community. And all of this in the context of maybe the domestic church, of that relationship with God. Now, why are these the places to make a good investment? Because they are eternal. They last forever. They make us who we are now and forever. And anything else we make an investment in of ourselves is a bad investment. It's worse than burying it, because you ain't going to get it back. Because everything else in this world is going to pass away. It's essentially worthless. Unless it's for the benefit of your relationship with God, or for the benefit of your relationship of those most especially in your domestic and communal circle and for other human beings, then it's worthy. And then it can bear these wonderful returns that are worthy of such an investment. Eternal returns for an eternal investment. In these days of this pandemic, one of the bright sides, you know, every cross has a bright side to it, you know? It really does, if we accept it the right way. One of the things that I have heard and continue to hear, actually, has been, for many people, a rediscovery of that treasure of domestic life and of life with God. Rediscovery, or maybe re-emphasis, of those important, fundamental, eternal relationships that are worthy of a gift of self, and from which we derive so much life as well. I have to say, for myself personally, that has certainly been the case. I know these days, in a lot of ways, juggling a lot of things, you know, about the parish and other things, the school, these different things, it's been very hard and kind of worrying. But I have to say, interiorly, these days have been rich with blessings and graces and conversion. And drawing really closer to the Lord, hanging on to Him for all I've got. I was talking to a cousin of mine. You know, I don't have too much family, to tell you the truth. But this is some family that lives actually over in Bedford County. She's actually more of my mother's generation. And we were talking about Thanksgiving coming up. And then got talking about these days we're in and about how we've just relied so much on prayer. And said, I don't know how people do it without it. I know, I mean, every day, you know, how do you make it through the day without knowing that God is taking care of you? And to keep that eternal perspective on things. I've heard, and I continue to hear, just this last week I heard a parent in the school talking about, you know, we're living in a time of the pandemic. You know, as we've gone through this pandemic, you know, there have been different sort of moods and emotions people have had. It seems one of them right now a lot is fatigue that you hear about. But this parent was talking about, you know, and with kind of the numbers going up the way they are, some things are having to be, we have to pull back from some. And it's affected, you know, for example, some sports teams, you know, athletic teams and stuff like that. We just had to either cancel or put on hold or things like that. And this one parent was saying, you know, I'm sorry for my kids. They were enjoying this whatever they were playing that got canceled or whatever. But you know, it's kind of nice for us to be at home and not running around and sit down and have dinner and spend some time with each other. And I've heard that from many people. I heard it from another young man who said, He said, you know, he's got several little kids. And he said, you know, my children love COVID. They love it, you know? And do you know why they love it? They love it because daddy is home a lot. And do you know why daddy's home a lot? Because he lost his job. But they love it because daddy's with them. And that father embraces that, even though, you know, I'm sure he's worried about getting another job or whatever. He was saying, well, I'm, you know, we're going and doing this and that and the other with the kids. I've got the chance. Let's do it. And I know many, many people, too, had had that opportunity within the domestic church to maybe focus more on the relationship and the presence of God with us. You know, in our own lives to pray and to be concerned about neighbors. I know a lot of people, I know I've gotten to know people in the neighborhood that I'm, because I just go out and walk a lot that I never knew before, you know? I've heard lots of people say that. And that's a blessing. It's an investment in the things that matter, the return that really matters. And so hopefully we will hear one day what those servants heard. Well done, good and faithful servant. Since you were faithful in small matters, I will give you great responsibilities.